When we walk with the Lord, so glad that you are here with us today. I want to thank Tim and the elders for that prayer this morning. We do have many of our number that are struggling, that have losses. I'm glad to see Benny and your family here with us today. So glad to see all of you. We have such a good Christian family here, do we not? And I mentioned that yesterday in the services for Nancy, about how Benny had his earthly family here with him, and so many of them, but he also had his spiritual family here with him as well. And what a great thing that is, to know that we are all part of that family. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. And I want to ask Bob, has Ann still not said that she was wrong? Yeah. 65 years that she's not said that she was wrong. There you go. Bob told the story yesterday about their first date. And Ann said that my name is right. And if I'm ever wrong, I'll let you know. And so for 65 years, Ann has never let Bob know that she was wrong. And so there you go. There you go. So that's great. That's great. Folks, I just want you to know that I am so proud of this family. In every way, shape, and form, I'm proud of this family. This family of believers. This family of people with like minds who desire to do God's will. That's what we're here for. That's why we come together. And folks, I also want you to know this, that if you have a situation come up that you have a surgery or something like that, let us know. Because I will tell you that I will do my best to try to be there with you during that time frame. But I want you also to know that I can't make all of them. There's no way that I can. But I do try to make as many as I can. And I will travel. Won't I, Ben? Yeah. Went to Tulsa this last week. I'm hoping to go to Oklahoma City on Tuesday. And I'm going to visit little Maya up there in Oklahoma City while we're there. And so I do travel around. I've been to Little Rock. I've been to Fayetteville. I've been to Oklahoma City. I've been to Tulsa. And I've been to Fort Smith more times than I can count. But I will try to be there. So if you have a situation that comes up, please let us know. Please let the office know. Please let everybody know so that we can pray for you. And, like I said, if I can be there, I will. I will be there. Now, I will tell you this. We're going to have to buy me a new truck pretty soon because I'm getting really close to 200,000 miles on it. So probably that'll be in the budget next year. Hopefully it'll be in somebody's budget other than mine, so I don't know. But I'm really glad to be able to do that and to be with you during those times because I know those times are important for all of us to be there. So, anyway, just wanted to talk about that to start off. What I want to talk about today is remaining in grace. And this is our third lesson on grace that we've had, and one of the things dealing with this is that I believe, and notice how I said that, I believe that the two biggest false teachings in the world today, the two biggest false teachings in the world today that will cause more people to miss out on going to heaven are these two. Number one is, all you have to do is believe and you'll be saved. Folks, I want you to know that is a false statement, that is false teaching. And the reason why I tell you that is because it is scriptural that that is false. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, tells us very plainly that not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. What does that tell you right there? It tells you that you are required to do God's will. Just believing is not going to get there. And also, the other thing that I always bring up when people say that is this. James chapter 2 tells us that even the demons do what? Folks, the demons aren't going to heaven. They're not going to be in heaven. But they believe. I guarantee you they believe. And they believe in such a way that they knew who Jesus was before even the apostles knew who Jesus was. They knew from the beginning of time. Because in the book of John, it starts off and it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's talking about Jesus Christ. So the demons knew who Jesus was from the very beginning of time. From the start. And one great example of that is the man who had the legion of demons. Remember when he comes out of the cave, when Jesus arrives on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and this man comes out of the cave and he's got these legions of demons in him, and the legion of demons responds to Jesus and says, what have we to do with thee, thou Son of God? They knew who Jesus was before the apostles knew who Jesus was. Folks, the demons believe. Demons aren't going to heaven. So there's obviously more to it than just belief. If you think all you have to do is believe, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out. And there's so many out there who teach that, that it boggles my mind. Because if they teach that, they're not reading the Scripture. Belief is not the end. Belief is part of the beginning. It is not the end. So we've got to understand that. That without doing the will of God, we will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that's what I was talking about with grace and faith. Grace and faith go together. You cannot receive grace without faith. You cannot receive faith without works. Because faith without works is? These are statements that we've said many, many times. But we've got to understand that. It's not just believing. It's not just believing. One of the things that really bothers me is when I hear people say, when you talk to them about being baptized, and I hear people say this quite often, they say, well, I was saved then. Well, guess what? No, you weren't. No, you weren't. And I've had people say, well, I've been saved back then. And remember I told you the story about the young girl who I had the opportunity to baptize, and I baptized her. She just got married about a couple of weeks ago. We were there at her wedding. And she was baptized, And then she went to her school and she was talking to her friends at her school, and she said she was so proud, and she was talking about how she had been baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And they responded to her and they said, "Well, when did you get saved?" And her response to them was, "When I was baptized." Because what happens in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, is that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That gift is salvation. We receive that when we are baptized. It requires action. It requires movement. You've got to do it. You can't just say it. And it really bothers me a lot of times when I turn on the television and I see these, what you call TV evangelists, I guess is what you call them, that say, "Now if you'll just say this prayer, you'll be saved." And it's always interesting to me because every time the prayer is different than it was before. But they say, "If you'll just say this prayer, you'll be saved." Well, folks, show me that in the Bible. Anywhere in the Bible. I have never found it. I have never located it. And folks, I have looked. It doesn't exist. There is no prayer that can save you. Because if there was a prayer that could save you, then why was it that Saul, who later became Paul, was baptized? He prayed for 3 days. Well, if prayer could save him, then he would have been saved then. But he wasn't. He had to be baptized. Folks, these are things that we must know. But the first false teaching that I believe that will cause more people not to make it to heaven than anything else is that thought, that teaching, that all you have to do is believe and you'll be saved. No, it's not there. It doesn't exist. The second one is this. The second false statement is that you cannot fall from grace. So basically what they're saying is that all I have to do is say that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that I'm saved, and I don't have to do anything else. I don't know how they keep people coming to church. I don't know how to do that. You know why? Because if I don't have to do anything else, if I've got grace and I can't fall from that grace, then there's no reason for me to do anything. I can stay home and watch television. I can stay home and watch the Razorbacks. Paul, that's not funny. I can stay home and do something entirely different. I can watch Kathy work in the garden. Notice how I said that. Because I'm not working in the garden. That's Kathy's job. So how else I can do that? I don't have to do anything else. I don't have to come to church. I don't have to come worship God. You know? And the reason why I don't have to come worship God is because I'm saved, and therefore I can't fall from grace. Folks, I'm going to tell you today, yes, you can. The Scripture teaches us, yes, you can. Because if you go back to the way you were before, then guess what? You have made Christ's blood of no effect. You have fallen from grace. And we're going to see that verse here in just a few minutes. I'm going to show it to you very plainly because it says very plainly, you have fallen from grace. So how do you stay in grace? How do you stay in grace? Well, let's start off with taking a look at the plan of salvation. Okay? This is the plan of salvation. We talk about it all the time. I've got verses upon verses upon verses that deal with what the plan of salvation is. But here's the first thing you must do in order to find salvation. You must hear the word. And folks, that's your responsibility. Do you realize that's your responsibility? How are our friends and neighbors going to know and hear the word unless somebody teaches them? Just like the eunuch said, how can I understand this unless someone guide me? How can I do this unless somebody shows me? Well, guess what? That's your job. Just because you pay a preacher, and I thank you for that, but just because you pay a preacher, I want you to know, that doesn't relinquish you from the job of going and telling your friends and neighbors. That doesn't relinquish you from the job of teaching your wife, your husband, your children, your grandchildren. That doesn't stop. The last command that Jesus gave to his disciples was to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Everybody. That he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So guess what? Number one is you have to hear the word. How am I going to hear the word? You're going to take it to them. You are. And folks, if you need help, that's what I'm here for. Call me. I'll come with you. But I also want you to know this. Nobody's going to listen to you unless you have a relationship with them. It's not going to work. We've proven that again and again and again. Door-knocking campaigns and all this stuff, trying to get people to come in. Folks, door-knocking campaigns are great. I'm not denouncing it. But if you really want to bring somebody in, you have to have a relationship with them. You have to be friends with that person. And you have to say to them, say, hey, why don't you go with me to worship tonight? Why don't you come with me? And it'll be amazing. There'll be times that they'll say no. But if you keep asking, they say yes. And then they can come. And then they can meet other Christians. They can meet this congregation. They can learn the word and be convicted by it. This is what we must do. It's your job. Not my job. It's your job. Go out, teach, preach. Bring people to Christ. Secondly, you must believe after you've heard. You can hear and not believe. But you must hear in order to believe. Belief is important. Belief is essential for salvation. I do not denounce people who say you have to believe, because guess what? You do. But to say that that's all you have to do, that's where I have issues. Because it's not. Thirdly, you got to repent. What does it mean to repent? To turn away from. I'm not going to do the same things I was doing last week because I've turned away from those things. I am no longer going to be under the law of sin and death. I'm going to be separate from that. Remember what Job did. He did what to evil? Shunned it. I love that terminology. He shunned it. In other words, when he saw evil coming, he says, I will have nothing to do with you. And he went the other way. That's shunning evil. You must repent. Repent is shunning evil. Turning away from those things. Not doing those things any longer. And then you must confess. Remember the eunuch. The eunuch asked Philip, "Look, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip responded and said, "If you believe, you what? Shall. You may. If you believe." And then his response is this: "I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Whenever you get baptized, I ask you that. I ask that question. You must believe, and you must confess it to other people. Folks, I have no problem confessing that to other people, that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. I have no problem confessing that God is the Father. I have no problem confessing that there is a heaven, there is a hell. I have no problem confessing that you must believe and be baptized in order to be saved. And y'all should know that by now. Surely. After 3 years. Look at number 5. We've got to be baptized. Baptism is essential. 1 Peter 3:21 tells us this: baptism now saves you. John 3:5 tells us that unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Those are pretty powerful. Baptism saves you. And unless you are baptized, you shall not enter in the kingdom of God. These are very specific statements. Things in which we need to know. But then the last part of this, and this is part of the plan of salvation, is this: you need to remain faithful. You have to walk in the light as He Himself is in the light. Or you do not have fellowship with God if you don't. 1 John chapter 1. We're going to get to that here in just a second. You must remain faithful in your life. If you go back to the way you were before, then when you're baptized, then guess what? You just got wet. That's all you did. My son, one time when he was a real little guy, we were passing the tray and we were taking of the Lord's Supper, and he says, "I want to do that." And I said, "Well, son, you got to be baptized first." He said, "Well, I was baptized." I said, "You were?" He said, "Yeah. Don't you remember when I fell in the lake? Or fell in the swimming pool?" "Yeah, I sure do. Because you about drowned. I remember when you fell in." He said, "Well, I was baptized." I said, "No. No. You just got wet. You just got wet." Folks, if you don't change your life, all you do is get wet. That's why in Romans chapter 6 tells us, "Shall I continue in sin that grace may abound?" What's the word, two words? God forbid. How shall I continue in sin after I have died to sin? After I have been buried in the likeness of His death and raised in the likeness of His resurrection, how can I possibly continue in sin? It's a change of life. It's a change of heart. It's a change of attitude. I don't do what I used to do. Why? Because I'm not that same person. Different. I'm different. Why? Because I've been buried in the likeness of His death and raised in the likeness of His resurrection. That's the difference. Now, 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. I told you I'd get there. If we say that we have fellowship with God, And yet, we continue to walk in darkness. What does it say? We lie and do not practice the truth. We have not changed. We are doing the same thing that we were doing. And therefore, we lie, we do not practice the truth, because we are not walking in the light, which is in God, but rather what we are doing is walking in darkness, which is Satan. We haven't changed. Therefore, when you were baptized, you got wet. You got wet. Don't just get wet. But if we say we have fellowship, but we don't walk in the light, and remember what John says is the light? John chapter 1, Jesus is that light. We walk in Christ. We walk in the Word. We walk with God. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, I want y'all to see this. Because Galatians chapter 5 completely denounces the idea that you cannot fall from grace. It says this: it was for freedom that Christ set us free. What did He set us free from? The law of sin and death. The condemnation which is in the law we are set free from because of Jesus Christ. Therefore, keep standing firm. In other words, don't fall away. Keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Don't go back to the way you were. Stay away from that. Look, I, Paul, tell you that if you have yourselves circumcised, Christ will be no benefit to you. In other words, if you go back to the old law, if you go back to the law of Judaism, if you go back to the law of circumcision, then guess what? You've made Christ's blood of no effect. If you go back to the way you were, you again have made Christ's blood of no effect. And so it tells us there in verse 3, I testify again to you, to every man who has himself circumcised. In other words, to everyone that has gone back to the old way, then that he is obligated to keep the whole law. I've talked about this before, and I want to explain it a little bit better, maybe. But understand, the old law still exists if you're now under the new law. So you're still condemned by that old law. If you sin, you are condemned by that sin. The old law gives you no forgiveness for sin. The old law gives you no way out of sin. Because the way they did it was, if you read Hebrews chapter 10, the way they did it was that year after year after year, all they did was carry forward all of those old sins with them. Until that which is perfect came and paid the debt for all those sins. So, what it's saying there, if you go back to the old law, then guess what? You got to keep all of the old law. That includes sacrifice. That includes everything. But in verse 4, it says, you have severed yourself from Christ. If you go back to your old ways. And I'm not just talking about the old law here, but if you go back to your old ways of what you were doing before you were baptized, then you have severed yourself from Christ, You who are seeking to be justified by the law, what does it say? You have fallen from grace. Now that verse right there, chapter 5, Galatians, verse 4, tells us very plainly, folks, you can fall from grace. Because if you go back to your old ways, then what have you done? You made Christ's blood of no effect, therefore you have fallen from grace. Now 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says this, but if you walk in the light, if you follow Christ, if you follow God, if you follow His commandments, if you walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. In other words, we have fellowship with God. We are His children. We are part of Him. And, notice what it also says, the blood of Jesus Christ does what? Cleanses us from all sin. That's the difference between the old law and the new law. Christ's blood cleanses us from all sin. All sin. And so when you look at that, understand in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it tells us very plainly that if we walk in the light, if we follow His will, if we do what He tells us to do, and that goes along with Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 that I quoted earlier, those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven, those are the ones that are going to make it. Those are the ones who have grace. Those are the ones who have forgiveness because, as you read right there, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now, John 14:6, realize, Jesus is the way. There is no other way. Jesus leads us to life forever. Jesus leads us to forgiveness. Jesus leads us to salvation. This is Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Matthew 7:21. The one who does the will of my Father. These are the ones who are following Christ. These are the ones who are following God. These are the ones who will be under grace and forgiveness and will receive salvation. Now, here's the thing. What if you have fallen away? What if you went back to your old ways? And I'm going to tell you right now, that it's extremely difficult not to go back to your old ways. You have to do it. Purposefully, if I get that word correctly, and I did. You have to do it with the intent of not going back to those old ways. You have to work at it. But, what if you fell short? What's going to happen if I fall short? I've had people ask me that very thing. This very thing. That they've had situations in their life where they went back to their drug addiction. Where they went back to their alcoholism. where they went back to whatever it was in their life that was causing them so many troubles, so many problems in their life, that they were losing their family, they were losing their friends, they were losing their jobs, they were losing all these things. And they asked me, they said, "What can I do? What can I do?" Thank the Lord thy God for Him, for Jesus Christ, for a way back. Because 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 tells us how to come back. The door is open for you to come back. The door is open for you to make it back. And here it is. If we confess our sins. Now understand, we're not talking about coming down front and telling us all the things that you've done wrong. Because I thank the Lord for remote control last night to where I could change the channel. So I wouldn't fall short and not have to come down here and confess that. But understand this, if we confess our sins to God, if we confess our sins to one another for help, realize what it says there, that God is faithful and righteous, so that He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 tells you how to come back. Ask for forgiveness. Confess your sin to God. And you will receive forgiveness. Jesus tells us, seek and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. Folks, you seek forgiveness, you're going to obtain it. You seek to walk with God, you will walk with God. You seek for salvation, you will find it. That's a promise that is made to us through Jesus Christ. Realize it. And realize that there's nothing in this world that you have ever done, ever, that could keep you from salvation if you will just come to God. The blood of Jesus Christ is what cleanses us from all of our sins. Without His sacrifice, we have no cleansing. Without His sacrifice, we have no forgiveness. But it's His blood that cleanses us from all of our sins. Is it not time to be buried in the blood of Christ? Washing away all of our sins, to be with Him forever, to be a part of that family that we talked about at the very beginning, to be together with Him for an eternity, to walk in the light as He Himself is in the light. And then we have the grace of God with us always. Always. Folks, the last part of the plan of salvation is living for God. Therefore, live for God. If you have a need this morning, a need for baptism, or a need for our prayers, We want to give you that opportunity to come while together we stand and sing.